Okay, we are continuing tonight to, We're continuing tonight to discuss the Holy Spirit. We started this subject last week at the beginning of our quarter, and last week's class was a basic introduction in which we introduced ourselves to the Holy Spirit and learn that He is a He, not an it or a ghost or anything else. And we compared our relationship to the Holy Spirit to our relationship to Christ. And we attempted to demystify, just a bit, demystify the Holy Spirit by seeing Him as a being in the Godhead, a being in the Godhead who is more similar to God the Father and more similar to Jesus the Son than is often acknowledged, okay? And while basic, when I mentioned that we would be talking about the Holy Spirit, that was one of, if not the first, questions that I got to dig into. So that was a very good foundation for our class, I believe. And tonight, we'll shift gears a bit and talk about something a bit more meaty. Maybe you saw on Facebook that tonight's subject is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is a fun topic. Right, a lot of people enjoy this one because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, which already kind of, you know, revs the engines a little bit. It's kind of on the juicier side of topics. And when we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's drama, right, a little bit. It will not be dramatic in class tonight, but there is historically, I don't want to use the word controversy. That's too strong of a word, and drama is too immature. But there is there's nuance, shall we say? There is there's intellectual debate. That's a good way to put it. There's intellectual debate about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Famously, two great brothers, long since departed from us, Guyon Woods and Gus Nichols differed rather publicly year after year after year after year after year, as a matter of fact, on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And by way of just kind of, you know, offering a thought, they differed on this topic and understood at the end of the discussion that neither one had violated Scripture, neither one was in error. One of the fascinations about this particular topic, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is that there are some, you know, that there are some multiple possibilities, right? There are some multiple possibilities. Now, always, we have to build a fence, right? And we stake that fence in by what the Bible says. And one of those established principles that no idea about the Holy Spirit can cross or violate is that miracles have ceased, right? Hopefully you're on that same page with us, that miracles have ceased. If not, that's kind of a separate study. We'll be happy to get into that. Preach a sermon on it this past Sunday night, as a matter of fact. But any view of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit, now I myself personally have scooped out the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is not in this class because, well, frankly, I don't think it's on the topic of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you do, if that's kind of a linchpin to your understanding of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, have at it. Let's talk about it, right? But it's not mine, and so it's kind of off of the sheet for tonight. But it will be a topic in this quarter's class on the Holy Spirit. So, no view of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit that says, oh yeah, this is miraculous ability. That we can't play with that, right? That doesn't stay in the box that a scriptural answer or a scriptural solution to these questions must stay in. Makes sense? So we have to draw some lines, and we have to say, okay, so long as you don't cross this line, and you don't cross that line over there, and you don't cross this line, and you don't cross this line, anything that you can come up with that plays inside of this pen, we have to reasonably acknowledge as a possibility, right? And that's where Woods and Nichols were on the subject. They had a difference of understanding and application of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I have some scriptures on the screen up here for you. Big thanks to Austin who helped me out with this. But here are some verses from 1 Corinthians. Now I'm teaching 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings. And these are two verses that let me just read them. It makes the most sense, doesn't it? Do you not know, this is chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? By the way, everything everyone says about that screen being hard to read is all true. I just thought they were old and complaining, but it's true. It's really hard to read that back there. Chapter 6, verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Oh, it's better. It's easier when I squint. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? Okay, so In teaching 1 Corinthians, which I do on Sunday morning this quarter, I am going to present one of these verses as speaking to us individuals, and the other of these verses speaking to the church, which is made up of individuals. So we'll talk about that in 1 Corinthians class. But either way you slice it, these two verses are acknowledging what? What are these two verses telling us about the Holy Spirit? He dwells inside of us, right? So, not to be a wise guy here, but the question is not, does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of Christians today? That's not the question. And why that is not the question is because here are two verses that tell you the Holy Spirit is in you. So, the question is, and you know, this may seem, you know, unnecessary to make as a point, but hey, we're interested in the details tonight. This is one of the more detail-oriented and detail-rich topics that we can explore. So it's worth getting a few things precise. You know, this gives us an opportunity to exercise being precise. And so the question is not, does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of Christians? The question becomes what? How does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of Christians? Because somebody walked up here tonight and put this fancy microphone over his ear and said, all right, the Holy Spirit does not dwell inside of Christians. You'd be like, wait, what? These are just a couple of verses. The verses that you'll see tonight, by the way, when I see list of verses, I get all excited, like, oh yeah, we have a comprehensive list. I'm telling you, this list is not comprehensive. This list reflects my approach to the subject and where I want this discussion to go. So not a comprehensive list if you're taking notes. So the question becomes, how does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of us? Okay, because both 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 tell us that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Here are a couple of more for you. Somebody want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 11? Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. So there you had it coming at you twice, right? If the Spirit of Him who is raised, if He dwells in you, that's kind of a flexible construction. And accepting that or not, the end of the verse says, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. All right, now chapter 8, verse 9. Somebody want to read that one for us, please?
You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Thank you, sir. So again, another reference to the Spirit dwelling in us, right? You may note in chapter 8, verse 9, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, there is no Holy Spirit mentioned there, right? A friend of mine and I were talking about this. And in chapter 8, verse 9, we have the Spirit of God, so, I mean, that's a big old clue about whom it is that we're talking about. In the second half of the verse, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, but again, not that popping distinction of Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'll leave this one up here for a second, and we'll stew on John chapter 14 for a bit. But let's kind of take note of where we are. Where we are is we've got some verses under our belt that indicate to us that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Okay? So our question then shifts from does He to, as Brian pointed out, how does He dwell in us? And what are some possible answers to that question? How does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? What's a possible answer? Okay. How does the Holy Spirit dwell in you Christians? Okay. Okay. Say it again. If we are baptized into Christ, then we have the Holy Spirit. Indeed. Could not disagree with that. Okay. Brother Woods' position was the Holy Spirit indwells Christians through the Word. And Brother Nichols' position was what? Say it again. Okay. Assumably it was physically. So, the question is, how does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of you? And I think we can reduce down our answers to two possibilities. Right? And y'all feel free to check this math. How does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of you? I'm shouting tonight. I looked over there and saw poor Timothy. How does the Holy Spirit dwell inside of us? Possibility number one, literally or physically, as was mentioned. Okay? Possibility number one, literally. Possibility number two, anybody want to venture a guess what this one is? Non-literally. Or figuratively or representatively. Brian knows more words than I do. So, possibility number one, literally. Real live Holy Spirit, really, really in you for real. Literally. Possibility number two, non-literally. And that was the great conversation for ages. And by the way, that conversation still rages on. Has not been solved yet. I am not silly enough to think that anything I have to say will put the matter to rest. So I've got very, very managed expectations for our study tonight. We're not going to get to the bottom of this. But we will have fun kind of playing with it. So possibility number one is literally, and that position is best famously represented by Gus Nichols. Possibility number two is non-literally, that position is best famously represented by Guy in Woods. And we have tremendous respect for both positions, right? Neither position at this juncture, neither position breaks any of the rules, right? For example, people who say the Holy Spirit is literally in you, they will point to passages like the ones we just read. There it is, the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, dwells in you, says it right there in black and white. And those in the literal camp say, I take that straight up literally. Which we have some appreciation for, right? We come from a movement that says, hey, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means, right? So here is Romans chapter 8, verse 11 saying, the Holy Spirit is in you. So it's very understandable that somebody would say, yeah, I believe that for real. Wes? Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. We'll get in the ballpark of it. I like the thought though. So somebody takes a look at Romans chapter 8 verse number 11 and says, "Yeah, man, that's what it says. It means what it says. That's literal. That's me." Well, we know, don't we, that there are portions of the Bible that are not intended to be taken literally. True or false? Shake or nod on that one. You with me or not? Yeah. There are portions of the Bible, in fact, that you can't take literally. Want an example of that? Jesus says, I am the vine. Well, was Jesus a vine? Literally, was Jesus a vine? Huh? No. Jesus says, I am the door. Was Jesus literally a door? Huh? No. So, you know, we won't beat a dead horse with a broken record, but okay, yes, true, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Right there, I'm looking at it. So are you. But now, the Bible also says that Herod was a fox. You know, the Bible also talks about bottomless pits, you know, which there ain't no such thing of here in this dimension. So we understand that there is the implementation of figurative speech in the Bible, right? I see a couple hands. Michael, here, you first. That's a good question. Go ahead, yes, sir.
I'm kind of going along with that. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it talks about we're natural men. We're not made to understand it. And that the more we study the Word, the Spirit, the more we, it will dwell in us.
Right, okay. I got you. Now let's turn to John 14, verses 16, 17. Here Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. So here is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, big asterisk beside John chapter 14 in my mind, because to whom is Jesus talking in John chapter 14, 15, 16? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jesus is talking to his apostles there. So later on in this same scene, when Jesus talks about what the Holy Spirit would do for them, he will give you the words that you shall speak. You know, have you heard somebody use that today to describe something that the Spirit does? I think Michael's comment was about the work of the Spirit, okay? We're about to get off of this point of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and kind of take it to the next level and talk about, okay, what's that mean? Well, it meant something different for the apostles than it means for us today, right? Is that kind of an obvious thing to state? This was the promise of the Lord sending the Holy Spirit. To whom is the Lord speaking here? You know, when we study the Bible, it is critically important to know some things, right? Who's doing the talking? Because there's a line in the Bible that says, curse God and die. Any of y'all want to do that? Huh? No. Why? Because God didn't say that. Job's wife said that. And so we understand, okay, there's something, that's not from God. I mean, it's recorded by God, but that instruction to curse God and die is not from God. There's a line in the Bible that says, you shall not die if you eat of that forbidden fruit. All right? Tell me about that one, Miss Ruth. The devil said that one. Okay, So when we study any passage of the Bible, we are interested in who is talking. We're also interested in who is being spoken to. God says, build an ark. Okay, so it's not the devil and it's not Job's wife. It's God who says, build the ark. How's your ark coming along? Michael, how's your ark coming along? Is anybody building an ark? Don't tell me nobody's building an ark. God said, build an ark. But he wasn't talking to us, Miss Ruth. You're exactly right. So we are interested, not just interested, but we are, what's a word that's more than interested? Say it again. We're intrigued, all right. We're motivated. We are hanging on who is talking and who is being spoken to, because that matters. Well, here in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, it ain't you who is being spoken to. When Jesus says, I will pray for the Father to give you the Comforter, he's not talking about you. And when Jesus says, the Spirit will give you the words that you shall say, he's not talking to you. He is talking to his apostles. So if we try to understand, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for us today with the same words that Jesus spoke to the apostles about their indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we'll be crisscrossed up, right? And we'll get a lot of the stuff that's out there in the religious world on this subject. Yes, sir, Wes. Yeah.
There is a difference between dwelling in you and what shall be in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he dwelled with them because they did have a limited measure.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, as Christians, dwelled with them as well. So there was a difference between them and us today.
Mm-hmm.
Read it for us, please.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance.
Right.
Whatsoever I've said to you.
So there are a lot of Christians and preachers running around out there who think, well, the Holy Spirit's going to give me my sermon today. Right. Holy Spirit's going to give me the words that I shall say. Well, know, please, that God is not talking to us. These words are being spoken to and primarily about the apostles. And we see fulfillment of this. I think Brian led us through this portion of Acts chapter 2 where we're talking about the them, the they, and all of that in end of Acts chapter 1, beginning of Acts chapter 2. All of that is referencing whom?
The 11 apostles.
Yes, the apostles. All right, and that's an important thing for us to know, right? In John chapter 15, same context here. We see something. We get somewhere interesting here in this discussion of indwelling, and Wes and a few other comments have been nipping on these heels. So here we are, John chapter 15, verses 4-7 there. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. Okay. So we have now, we're talking about indwelling, and yes, we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we also got time to mention some of these other indwellings. So here, Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he says, you abide in me. Question, how were the apostles to abide in Jesus? Don't answer out loud. And I in you, Jesus says. Question, how was Jesus abiding in the apostles? Remember, we asked that question about 5 minutes ago about the Holy Spirit. And we said there are how many possibilities? Two. Have you thought of another possibility since then? I'm all ears if you have. So, what are the two possible ways that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us? Literally or non-literally, figuratively? How many possible ways are there for the apostles to abide in Jesus and Jesus to abide in the apostles? Okay, I like the way you're thinking. Two possible ways, which are literally or non-literally. Now you tell me, how do you reckon the apostles abode in Jesus? Non-literally. right? Non-literally. There was no real life part of the apostles that really, for real, in real life, was in Jesus for real. In what way do you reckon the Lord Jesus abode in the apostles? Yeah. So in what way do you reckon Jesus abode in the apostles? Not figuratively. You don't have to believe it that way if you don't want to. Because literally is technically a possibility, right? If you look down at verse number 6, Wes, I'll get to your comment in just one second. If a man abides not in me, he's cast away. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So here, I mean, are you making a list? Make you a list of all the things that abide in you as a Christian. We started tonight with the Holy Spirit, but tonight we're seeing that Jesus abides in us, at least he abode in the apostles, and that his word abides in us. Now here we go to Colossians chapter 3, outside of our scene between Jesus and the disciples. And what do we have here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16? Very famous passage here. What does it say? Let the Word dwell in you. My question again, you know what it's going to be. How is God's Word going to dwell in us? What are our two options? Literally or figuratively? Well, how does the Word of God dwell in you? Are there pieces of the Bible really in you? Addie's getting a Bible for Christmas. Don't tell her. And she's going to tear that Bible all to pieces. I know it. She's going to eat it and slobber all over it and then eat it and then drop it and then eat it. You know, how is the Word of God in you? I just want to tease this subject. Because later on in this course about the Holy Spirit, we will talk about how the Holy Spirit operates today. And in that class, we will say that the Holy Spirit today operates through the Word of God. That will be a very important distinction. And we will see a chart like this, an expanded version of a chart like this, that talks about an action. In that center column there. And then there are passages both saying that the Holy Spirit does this and that the Word of God does this. And so the conclusion that we will investigate and reach, I believe, is that the Holy Spirit does this how? Through the Word. Right? Through the Word which dwells in us. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I won't read this one, but here's a verse where God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. All right? How? How is this going to happen? What are our two possibilities? Literally or non-literally? How does God dwell in you? How do you dwell in God? 1 John chapter 3, chapter 4, beautiful, beautiful passage. Gets us towards an answer. 1 John 3, 24. He that keeps his commandments does what? Dwells in. So how do you dwell in Christ? By studying and reading, all right? By keeping his commandments, 1 John 3:24. All right, so Wes, and then we'll come back to that. Yes, sir.
I was just going to define the term that looks different, which, you know, just makes
go
it
ahead.
For me. It's separate apart from the Word.
Sure, sure.
And through the Word or through faith.
Sure.
The passage you just,
yes, sir.
You know, that you just know it. But he also says in 1 John 3:24
uh-huh.
that if we keep his commandments, he abides.
So it goes biblically separate apart, and another guy is believing just through the word.
Okay. Yeah, those phrases separate and apart and through the word, they will become extremely critical when we talk about how the Holy Spirit operates. When we talk about how the Holy Spirit indwells, you know, obviously we're getting right up next to the edge of, okay, now what, right? And the now what, you know, kind of is an abyss, right? I mean, people have gone everywhere with these things that we're presenting tonight. Most recently, perhaps you've heard this name, perhaps not, a guy by the name of Mac Deaver, who believe, and this is kind of a concern of ours, right? Believes in the literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some people say literal and non-miraculous, but I already told you at the beginning, we can't have any miracles anyway. So just the literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I know and have known people who believe that. Love them to pieces. Now, none of them has said, okay, the Holy Spirit is for real, really, really inside of me. I mean it for real. And is doing stuff to me, right? That's where we kind of get out of the box we built at the beginning of class, saying that we have to make sure that we keep all of our theories and all of our studied conclusions inside of this box, right? Because miracles have ceased. And so if any view of an indwelling of the Holy Spirit leads to a false conclusion or a false statement about what the Holy Spirit's doing today, we got problems, right? And that's where Brother Deaver was with the position that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, but now he's doing stuff separate and apart from the Word, and that's where we have to say, whoop, time out, can't have that. Now Gus Nichols stayed on the square that says the Holy Spirit is inside of me, the Bible says so, but no miracles are happening. And that's fine, right? That happens not to be my opinion, but that is fine as far as opinions in this area go. Yes, sir. True. I appreciate the point. Brian, did you want John 4?
No, I
mean, 1 John 3:26 is what Brian has a comment on. I messed up my thing, but I'm with you. Go ahead. 1 John 3:26. We'll be quick here. 1 John 3:24, my bad. He who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, right? So we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us through our keeping his commandments. And we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given.
And so we abide in Christ and he in us because we keep his commandments.
Indeed. Well,
the Spirit tells us literally, or the Spirit has provided us
right. The Word. Now we get into the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit. On the table tonight has been kind of a niche topic about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we had to talk about the indwelling and the operation of the Holy Spirit, we certainly could have done that. In our course, though, I'm making these two separate two separate nights, right? So we can have this fun all over again. That we can talk about how the Holy Spirit indwells, and then in a future class, we can talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, this train of thought, directly, indirectly, through the Word, separate and apart from the Word, will become much more critical to that discussion. Thank you all so much. I really do appreciate it. We'll stop there and do it all over again in a future class.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.